This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Market Podcast. I'm Santosh Nair, and in this edition, I have with me Anuj Singhal, Stocks Editor, CNBC TV18. Anuj, pleasure to have you here with us.
Good to be here, Santosh.
Yeah. So, a fairly action-packed week. You saw the Sensex and Nifty make record highs during the week. So, just give us a rundown of the action that was.
Yeah, the Sensex made the record high, Santosh. Nifty fell just a bit short. Bank Nifty is, way short right now. And I think what clearly stood out is the fear of height, because by Friday, the market clearly told you that it needed one last push to take it past the 12,100 mark on the Nifty. Now, the excuse being used was Moody's, but frankly, in my book, that's not even a reason for the market to fall. That was perhaps a trigger. The market would have fallen anyway because it's gone up a lot. And as far as I'm concerned, it's still a buy on dips market. 11,800 to 700 is the base which the market has now formed. And if the market revisits there, perhaps that will be a buying opportunity. One thing which I'm a bit concerned about the market action this week was the broader market action. The broader market started to underperform. The mid-cap index was down 1% for the month. And that, if you club with the FII and DII data, FII is all through the week buying and DII is all through the week selling. It's telling you that once again, we are back into that zone where there's a lot of ETF money which is chasing the momentum in India. And if you see this week, Indian market this month has actually outperformed MSCI Emerging Market and MSCI Asia X Japan Peers. So in a nutshell, I would say that this is still a bull market which is going up. But now what is happening is that there's a momentum money which is chasing the index. The last rally was very healthy, which happened post the corporate tax cut and the correction after that. That rally was very healthy. This rally, I think, is getting a bit narrow. As you can see, big stocks, big mid-cap stocks like Bharat Forge today collapsing. That's a bit of a concern to me. But at index level, I don't see any reason why you should change your attitude of buying the dip.
So before I take you up on the broader market, you've been seeing a lot of action in Bank Nifty. That's one index that's been consistently doing well. Now, why the sudden interest in bank stocks, or is there too it's a narrow set of stocks that's driving the index?
Santosh, what's happened on the Bank Nifty is really intriguing and really puzzling, because when the economy was doldrum would be a strong word to use, but when there was some trouble and when you had especially that whole NBFC crisis, the Bank Nifty actually used to outperform, because the Bank Nifty composition is such that you have an HDFC Bank, ICICI Bank, Kotak and Axis put together, that's 75 to 80% of the Bank Nifty. So whenever money was being moved out from the likes of Yes Bank, IndusInd Bank and moving to Kotak and HDFC Bank, the Bank Nifty was actually doing remarkably well at a time when there was a bit of a financial crisis. Now what has happened is that all of a sudden there's a lot of outperformance in names like IndusInd Bank, RBL Bank, Yes Bank. But that has come at the expense of some of the erstwhile outperformers like HDFC Bank and Kotak Mahindra Bank. That's why if you see the Bank Nifty is all-time high, we're still some distance away from that. It's a very narrow index. I think Bank Nifty to me does not tell me about the health of the banking system. That is the whole point here. And there's a lot of index management also which happens because of the weekly options expiry on the Bank Nifty, which is not possible in the Nifty because it's widely distributed. The Bank Nifty is not so widely distributed. You have one stock contributing 40%, which is the HDFC Bank. So that's why I always look at the Bank Nifty as just a trading instrument, no more, no less. It gives great trading opportunities. But if you're looking at the overall state of the market, I think I look at the Nifty and the Nifty Junior. They give me, far better indication of what the market is doing.
So what exactly is the problem in mid-cap and small-cap stocks? Why aren't people buying it? How are the valuations looking, given that, these stocks have not really outperformed in a big way?
That's a very good point. It's not that they didn't rally. They did rally. What has happened in the broader market universe, Santosh, is that there's a big distinction between companies whose earnings have been good and companies whose earnings are bad. And the market is handsomely rewarding companies which have come out with good earnings. I'll give you an example. Jubilant FoodWorks, from the day of its earnings, is up some 15%. Okay, and that's one of the more expensive stocks that we have. On the other hand, you have a Bharat Forge today, which is not horrendously expensive, but the earnings were quite pedestal and the management commentary was quite weak. And the stock was down 10% today, almost 10%. So I think what you're seeing right now in the mid-cap universe is that there's a leap of faith being taken in some names like a Jubilant or a DMart, where the numbers were quite good and that stock almost went to 2000. But at the same time, there are companies where the market thinks that perhaps the best of the earnings is, or the best of the rally is out of the way, and the data is not supporting any rally. A case in point being Bharat Forge. There are many other names like Bharat Forge. I'll just give you one more example. I mean, look at Berger Paints. That's a stock which has had a non-stop rally ever since its numbers, or even before the numbers. So if the numbers are good, I think what this market has done is it's made expensive stocks more expensive and cheap stocks cheaper. And that's a dichotomy that we have to live with. That's the problem with the broader market. I think the fact that the earnings season, there were some good outperformers, but there were some disasters as well.
So Anuj, inflows into equity mutual funds. Hmm. September was weak. Hmm. And October also, we are seeing some bit of enthusiasm waning on the part of retail investors. Hmm. At the same time, you're seeing a lot of interest from foreign investors who've been really buying hand over fist. So what does this mean for the market?
I think what it clearly means for the market is that a lot of domestic investors were waiting for their portfolios to repair. That hasn't happened in entirety. I mean, if you were lucky to be in the top 10 of 20 stocks, then you have made a lot of money. But if you were in the broader universe of the market, your patience has been tested. And there you have endured a lot of, you know, losses. And the big hope was that post the corporate tax rate cut, the market will really broaden out. And to be fair, it did. For a certain period of time, it did broaden out. For example, you look at the auto sector, it did rally 20% from the lows. You look at a lot of mid-cap pharma names, they did rally from the low point. But again, I think you're seeing some kind of fatigue at higher levels. This FII inflow, it will always happen, Santosh, when you see this kind of FII inflow. When you have FIIs who sell at 10,000 and then there's FIIs buying at 12,000, the question, and obviously DIIs were buying at 10,000, now they're selling at 12,000. The reason for that is that the FIIs who were selling at 10,000 might be a different set of FIIs than the ones who are buying now at 12,000. But the DIIs which were buying at 10,000 is the same set of investor who's now selling at 12,000, right? So whenever our DIIs notice that there's a momentum chaser FII, then the DIIs normally keep the powder dry and actually use the rallies to lighten up the position, which is happening right now as well. Regarding this domestic mutual fund inflows, I think 2 months is still too early to say that, you know, the equity cult is at the risk. I think if the market gets to all-time high and if the mid-cap start to participate once again and the broader market starts to broaden once again, I have no doubt in my mind that this mutual fund number will go to its all-time highs pretty soon.
Anuj, the other development of the day was Moody's cutting the ratings on Infosys and TCS. Does this have implications for the broader IT sector as a whole?
So what Moody's has done is that because they have kept the sovereign rating under watch and they have sort of changed their outlook. So that's why on all the companies that are under the coverage. So they have done that with Infosys, TCS. They have done that with all the banks. They have done that with oil marketing companies. I think that's the mandate that if they put the sovereign's rating itself or the outlook on the sovereign's rating, if that changes, then that automatically translates into the rating impact on the others. I'll just say one thing, Santosh. I still believe that, you know, Moody's will be talked about a lot. That was a trigger for the market to fall, not a reason for the market to fall. And Monday morning, Tuesday morning, I don't think you'll be talking much about Moody's. As far as TCS is concerned, TCS rallied a lot after Infosys, you know, because there's a lot of money which moved out from Infosys into TCS because of the corporate governance issues or the concerns which were raised. But if you historically see the trend of TCS, this is exactly the kind of valuation where TCS normally struggles. And around 2200, it's the peak valuation for TCS. So I would relate that more as a case of, just simple profit taking in TCS because it has had a big run. And remember, TCS's numbers were not good. Infosys's numbers were good. And that's why a lot of money has shifted from TCS to Infosys. The reverse happened after that whistleblower incident. But now with Mr. Nandan Nilekani also coming and clarifying and some confidence getting back into Infosys, if you see the last 1 week or thereabout, Infosys has managed to recover quite a bit from 620 to 700, 720 thereabout. So I think this is still a game about the relative play between Infosys and TCS. I don't think Moody's was much of an issue here today.
So Anuj, as you mentioned a short while back, most of the key earnings are already out of the way. So now what are the key triggers that the market will now be looking for?
I think the big trigger, and I think this was one reason that we mentioned today morning as well, is because of this unfortunate rains that we have had and the timing of the rains, I think a lot of crops have got damaged. We've already seen that, for example, in the outlook on sugar. I think we're seeing that on a lot of vegetable prices. What's opening up as a bit of a risk is the fact that RBI has been on a rate cutting cycle, but if inflation were to raise its ugly head once again over the next 3 or 4 months because of this whole issue of crops, I think that poses a bit of a risk for the market, which is something which the market has not yet, I think, priced in, but that's emerging as a risk. The other big trigger for the market, I think, remains as we move into the run-up to the union budget. The biggest talking point would there be a personal income tax rate cut? In my conversation with market experts, what has clearly come out is that while the corporate tax cut was a great move, it has sort of addressed the supply side issue. What you need now is a demand side issue. Even when, you know, you look at the recent action, for example, on the real estate, you know, sorting out the stuck projects, most of these are supply side issues. All right. What you need is demand, you know, and demand would happen if there's more money directly in the hand of the people. History has told us that markets do well when there's tax cut, and markets underperform when the taxes rise. So I think that's the big trigger now. If there's going to be a personal income tax rate cut, Nifty would go to 15,000. That's, you know, as simple as that. If in the budget or before budget there's a personal income tax rate cut, the rally that you had because of corporate tax cut, that would look like loose change. Because, you know, this would be really the one. We need a demand push. We need stimulus on the demand side. I think that's the big trigger. So that's on the trigger side. On the risk side, as I said, if because of inflation raising its head, this rate cutting cycle perhaps has to stop, that would be a bit of a risk factor.
Well, thank you, Anuj, so much for joining us on this show and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you so much, Santosh. Thanks a lot.
And now a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And in case you've got any queries or suggestions for us, please feel free to write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that is mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and analysis, log on to moneycontrol.com and have a great weekend.